broadcast room of the Geek Gala HQ. There are assembled Charlotte, North Carolina's four okayest geeks, created by the cosmic legends of their own mind. Starnslord, the Giddy Geeker, Carol the Cat, Tipples Tannenbaum. Their mission, to support local, to discuss all things geek, and to serve all fankind. They are the Guardians of the Geekery, the official podcast of the Charlotte Geeks.
Well, because the 2 and the 5 add up to 7, and then 7 is 14, and then 4 plus 1 equals 5, and 5 is prime, so there you go.
There's numbers.
I was just saying... I knew nothing about
you
numerology.
You guys are geeks.
What are you? What's this you guys stuff? Oh, you're one of the originals. Don't even start with us.
Oh, true. Thank you.
Cool. Yeah, you were at our second Geek Gala. Were you at the first one?
Yes,
also?
I was.
I remember the second one because you had the black tutu dress that year.
That's Mia that's speaking as well.
Incidentally, yes. Who is our guest?
I was going to introduce the lovely and ever, ever welcome Mia Davis.
Thank you. It's so good to be here again.
The queen of Queen City Cinephiles. That evil, let not that evil laugh dissuade you. She is for good, not for evil.
She's good, even though she wears the crown to a audio podcast.
Yeah.
She's still down to earth.
I'm a switch, so, you know. Dark side, for good, whatever.
Sweet.
Whatever. Depends on the day, the
hour. Chaotic neutral if needed, yes.
So welcome. But yes, so you were at the first one, but I remember you being at the second one because I remember your outfit, so...
Well, that's quite an honor, too.
I know, because I don't remember much anymore, but I remember that.
And the second gala, that was a different Mia.
Yeah, you
had
brown hair.
And that was the only difference.
That was it.
I can picture that then, one. Okay.
That was
brown hair. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. I was a different Carol at those two.
Yeah, as well. we were all different people back then.
We were.
What a lovely
transformation!
Transformation for all of us.
Metamorphosis.
All I can picture is like y'all like in Handmaid's Tales outfits. Like it was a different time.
Carol had long hair.
I had very long hair. I was wearing Hogwarts. To the first one.
Yeah, the second one you wore a bowler hat.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't.
A bowler hat.
Meet at the first one.
No, we didn't meet at the first one. But yeah, I was dressed in Hogwarts. I don't remember what R was wearing.
What were you wearing?
At the first one?
And the second one, since you remember that.
The first one. I was married then, and we
dressed
as each other.
Oh, you switched?
So I was dressed as my husband at the time, and he was dressed as me.
And then the second year, you had on the black bustier, and then you had on a black tulle crinoline thing with red.
Just nod and say yes.
Sure. I thought that was the third, but you might be right.
It was the one in the Carolina Ballroom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the second. And then we were in the other one from then on out, so...
Yeah. I was showing off my voluptuous figure.
Yes, and it was indeed voluptuous, as is now. But
thank you.
No bustier tonight. Anyway, so,
Queen City Cinephiles.
This is focusing.
This is an actual thing here. So, what is Queen City Cinephiles?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. It is a screening business. So, I screen independent short films at a local brewery. Thirsty Nomad is our home.
Yay.
So I screen short films there every other month on a Friday. The next one is December 6th, and it's going to celebrate Disabled Persons Awareness.
Yeah, so each one, you have a different theme.
Yes. Yeah. And this is the third year I'm wrapping up. So
3 years already. Wow.
Yeah. So I've been able to figure out which lineups, work and which ones don't. So... Now, if you come to it in the fourth year, I have figured it all out.
Finally.
Yeah, so the Disabled Persons Awareness is pretty cool because where else are you going to see short films like that?
Yeah.
And
are they made by disabled directors?
Most of the time.
Or the focus is on... disabled.
The call for submissions includes all of that.
All that. Okay. So cool.
Whether it's made by somebody with a disability or the character has a disability.
Okay.
But most of the time, most of the entries right now are documentaries. Okay. So they meet both of that.
Okay. Yeah. Neat.
So what are some of the other themes that you've had in the past?
The most recent one about a week and a half ago was films with a twist, which is my personal favorite. Every short film has a twist in the plot or character.
I see dead people. I've been saving that one since I saw that movie.
A lot of those are, you know, thrillers. And,
yeah.
And it's fun because you know that every film in it has a twist.
So you're waiting.
So you're thinking, oh, I know what's coming. I know what's coming. But sometimes it tricks you. Sometimes it doesn't.
What's the parameters on like the time of a short film that you usually receive? I mean, is it like 2 minutes to 20 or is it a little bit longer? Or
I accept 1 to 59 minutes.
Oh, 59. Okay.
Yeah, which is the definition of a short film.
Okay.
I've got 3 hours to program.
Wow.
So okay. I just come up with a lineup based on the ratings that the judging panel
gives. Yeah.
Comes up with and.
Exciting.
And formulate it that way. It sounds complicated, but it becomes easy once you see the ratings. There's usually a clear divide in like, oh, okay, this is going to work for the audience, I think.
Nice.
Yeah.
So how did you come up with the idea for this? Was it just something that you've always wanted to do? Or is this just like, wow, you know, I can do this right now.
I had a dream.
Mia's going to be in the talent contest.
You have a good shot of winning something.
A singing Excel pivot table walkthrough.
I'm going to nail this.
Absolutely.
Sorry, Kevin Patterson. It's mine. Anyway, I always loved independent films. And a few years ago, well, before I created that, I was getting my friends together once a month for what we called Watch It Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
It was just amongst friends
where
somebody would pick two independent features that the rest of us probably hadn't seen and watch them at their house. And they would have like a theme related to that. And then, I don't know, I just wanted something more. So I started that with a partner who's no longer with it, but it went really, really well. I was surprised at how many submissions I got. I was surprised at how many people came out to watch. So I kept going.
And now you're on year four. You're going on to year four.
I'll be going on year four, yeah.
Are you surprised at the quality of films that you receive for each?
Yeah, I'm surprised at like the famous names that I see that are working on short films that, you know, I don't think their mainstream audience even are aware that they're making things like Amy Schumer and Tom York and the Blue Man Group and things like that. So that's very interesting. But also it brings me in the community of filmmaking in Charlotte. So I can see, I've met so many people in Charlotte that are making really quality stuff and they just crave this creativity and team effort, to share their knowledge with other people. So it's just, it's growth and expansion and creativity. Yeah. And it's a wonderful thing to be a part of.
And because of this wonderfulness that you're doing, you've done the last 3 years, you're now being invited to speak.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. Yeah.
I recently co-hosted the film festival at the Queen City Comedy Experience, which it wasn't the first Queen City Comedy Experience, but it was the first film festival for the Queen City Comedy Experience.
Nice.
Okay. And I was so honored to do that. I was at the Duke Theater.
Wow.
And there's a picture of me on Facebook in the tech booth at the Duke Theater. That's like super cool. and I'm a panelist on a lot of film festivals. this past Sunday, I was a guest speaker for a film panel at Winthrop University, and that was part of the Carolina Film Festival. That was amazing because I got to meet Maria Howell. She's an actress that she was in The Hunger Games and What to Expect When You're Expecting. And she was, I approached her before we joined the panel, and she was just so inspirational about how you have to listen to your inner voice and follow those things. That's true success, not, you know, necessarily how much money you make or top billing or anything like that.
Wow.
She was just such a good energy. And everybody else on that panel was amazing as also. And then next month at the Unconventional Film School, I'm teaching a film class there.
Ooh,
mid-November.
Okay. Nice. What are you going to be teaching?
I'm going to be teaching about the trends in short films, good and bad. Because I've screened, I'm kind of known as the person that screened more short films in all of the Carolinas.
Holy so,
last year it was like 1,800 that I had seen that year. And this year it got to be so much that I got a judging panel to do most of that dirty work for me.
Oh,
but
gosh,
I'm at about 900 this year. So half of that.
Do you watch them all the way through, or do you get a good feel for them and then you go, okay, yeah, I think I can turn this one off?
Oh, I'll skip.
I just remember judging the Con Carolinas Film Festival where I was like, I think I can just turn this one off.
Yeah, I mean, if it doesn't fit the theme,
yeah,
that's part of it. I know that I'm not going to screen it, so I'm sorry. I'm not going to invest
That's
my
part
time.
Of the problem, particularly. I know, like, Film Freeway is a really wonderful way to submit films.
Mm-hmm.
But,
and screen them.
But you have a lot of people that just blanket submit.
Mm. Yeah, and that's such a pity because, you know, there's no refunds. Don't pay to submit a film that isn't going to be considered. That's just my cautionary tale for you filmmakers out there.
Yeah, don't pay and then come back and tell us you have no budget.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, the Geek Gala has done a film festival every year.
Yeah.
And there are people that are always, you know, certain other countries where they'll just be like, well, we can't pay to submit. And can you please give us a waiver code? And I'm like, did you even read?
Yeah.
I mean, like, based on your synopsis alone, not your film does not fit any of the six categories that we're judging for. So why are you even talking to me? And, you know, I always try to say, hey, there is somebody who does screen short films.
I appreciate that.
And
yeah,
go,
absolutely.
Go contact Queen City Cinephiles, but also pay attention to, like, their topics, too. So.
Yeah. But the flip side of that is... filmmakers that I've already screened their films, now that we've got a rapport going, if they message me and they've got a film that's going to meet a lineup, I'll send them a waiver code.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, okay. I'll hand those out pretty easily. So find me on Facebook and ask me for a waiver code.
If you're a filmmaker.
But first, make sure, you don't just get...
I don't want to see any other kind of videos. Thanks. The Cinephile favorite for films with a twist was a filmmaker in France, Anatole Levelin Clement. I hope I'm pronouncing that with some dignity. But I've shown his films 3 or 4 or 5 times, maybe.
Great.
And that was voted the audience favorite.
Oh.
The cinephile favorite. Yeah.
Woohoo!
Do you find that a lot of, like, big name directors do? I mean, like, I know one of my favorite new directors is Ari Aster, and he got his start in short films.
Mm-hmm.
Are you finding that a lot of big name directors did get their start in the short format?
I know that, I don't know about traditionally, but I know that. A lot of short filmmakers now, that's their goal.
Is to get into the, into making a full feature length.
Right. They're making the short film, probably out of college, to sort of be like a commercial to for
have a reel to
for yeah. a production company, a studio to green light a feature project of that feature of that short
yeah.
film.
Yeah,
that makes sense because you know when MTV was actually playing music videos back in those days. A lot of directors came out of that and directed
back
features.
Back in the 18s and the 80s.
But when they were more story-driven, yeah. it's, a lot of those folks transcended and
yeah, I mean, David
big
Fincher
movies,
got so. His start doing music videos.
Yeah.
Spike Jones.
Yeah, one of your favorite directors, Taika Waititi, who we were discussing prior to the record being...
you mean the man of my dreams.
Yes.
And I his.
Absolutely.
Whatever you say.
Because he made a short film.
He's made several. He's made several, yeah.
And
what
they're
we do all
in the shadows. And then they made a feature-length film of that short. Mm-hmm.
And then they made
a show. A
TV show. And then he became an Avenger.
Yes.
And Lights Out worked that way also.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how many different short films get actually purchased and bought and turned into feature-length films.
They almost become like proof of concept.
Yeah.
Right.
Do they work better as a feature-length film, though, than as a short film? I like the short film medium, maybe because it's attainable for filmmakers who aren't
You have to have a tighter plot if you're doing a short film, and... Sometimes somebody will have a good, I don't know. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but sometimes once you try to broaden that, if they don't have any substance to put it down, it just becomes a watered-down version.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have seen, there gets to be a point where there's kind of a formula, which is sad to say, but it is what it is. If you are making a short film, you're making it so that it gets distributed at film festivals. Mm. And it is so much easier to program a 5-minute, 12-minute, 20-minute short than a 60-minute short.
Okay.
But if you're going to enter a film, if your film is already 50 minutes, then as a director you have, or an editor, you have to decide, am I going to get that down to 20 minutes or am I going to...
Yeah.
Work with the director here and tell them, go ahead and make it 120 minutes so that you can distribute that to feature as a feature for film festivals.
Oh, if you're that close.
So, if you're that close, you might as well just kind of add.
And I guess it could be
longer scenes and it does drag out. I do see that unfortunately a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, where somebody's just trying to push it from a 50 to maybe a 72 or a 90.
Yeah, and you feel it. You feel it when you watch it. So I understand what's going on there. I just wish maybe instead of a long musical
interlude where you're like, I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, I can watch you ride your motorcycle for another 6 minutes. Wow.
Okay. Is it a bad sign for a short film if they put an intermission in that's about 20 minutes? Is that not good? Or
you do see that in the musicals from the 60s and 70s where they take something that maybe in the theater really is 100, 130 minutes. I mean, you know, like an hour and a half, 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. But with an intermission in between, it's a 2-hour event, you know. But then when they go to put it on the big screen, they realize, oh, we don't have an intermission. Oh, we'll insert a dream sequence here that has nothing to do with anything.
Sweet.
Yeah, I do see a lot of just long, drawn-out scenes that are usually beautiful. They're well done cinematically, but there's no substance there. It's just
not a
song is playing. And it's probably an original song, which is also good.
Yeah.
But it's you're losing the audience when you do that.
Yeah. Unless it's Roadhouse, then you know, just put Jeff on the mic and it'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. But Amazon and Netflix and well, I know those two for sure are looking for short film content. So
yeah.
I think that's a sign that they understand that.
It's some of the local folks are on Amazon now for their short films.
Absolutely.
On Amazon, which is great.
And I talked to Netflix a few weeks ago or last month or so.
Ooh.
Yeah, they're looking for short film content so they can make compilation.
Oh.
Well, they do a lot of anthology stuff. Series.
Yeah.
But they also do just short films. I know Tom York's short film Anima was released to Netflix, and that's only 15 minutes. So, yeah, they are looking for just new and unique stuff to throw.
They're going to need it,
There's
too.
A lot of it out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of it out there. So it's good that they have people going out there trying to curate quality stuff.
Well, and I think
you can bring it, you could watch it at home eventually.
And people like Netflix have gotten us used to the fact that, you know, something that's a half an hour on primetime TV is 22 minutes or 25 or, you know, 35. So you're used to not typical hours anymore that you could sit and watch an episode and do that. So I think short content would work. So,
Yeah, you really could kind of make it a series. And I really, what was it? Adult Swim. They would have some series that were like 10 minutes, an episode. And I was like, that to me is great because they're basically short films, but they were so tight and they were just great. Cause it was like, there was no fluff. It's sort of the opposite of watching like a Saturday Live sketch now where they just kind of ramble on, you know, and there's no ending and there's nothing, but it's like this. Yeah. Those were cool. Yeah.
Some, we got into a conversation the other night about how Saturday Night Live skits don't know how to end. They just
have they
do
ever,
these. That's like one of their challenges.
I mean, even if you go back to the heyday in the 70s with John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd, there was always that moment where it was like, it should have ended right there, guys.
And not ready for prime time. They just don't know where to end it.
Well, you know, it's like we were talking about, we'll try it every once in a while. And it's especially like after that 12:30 mark.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that last half hour is just dead man's land. Sometimes they force the musical guest to go on one more time, to fill 5 minutes because they have nothing. But like now I've noticed like they don't even have like a catchphrase at the end. There's no end. It just kind of fades out. And you're like, did the guy running the commercials fall asleep? And he just kind of faded into a commercial because it's so weird. There's like nothing happening. All of a sudden the thing's over and you're like, what just happened there? It was like,
I can't remember the last time I saw a Saturday Night Live finale. Just the finale part.
Oh, okay.
The end of the episode. I'm watching him on, you know, a streaming service.
Watching the clips.
Right. And they know that that's what's
where
going
they're.
On.
That's how it's consumed now. Yeah.
They're consumed through YouTube clips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Queen City Cinephiles, we try to have a audience discussion after every short film, sometimes involving the filmmaker either by Skype or in person. So that adds to the draw to get people to put their pants on and turn their Netflix off.
And actually come out and have a beer.
Yeah, to come out in public.
And it is a good brewery.
It's a really good Thirsty Nomad has been
but
such
are pants
a good
really that important?
Mm-hmm. You can wear your pajamas.
Cargo shorts this one time.
Clothes are required.
Well,
correct.
Well, are they though?
Oh no!
Come to a Queen City cinephile and find out.
Pay your admission. You're not wearing pants. You heard the podcast.
That's different.
Well, I mean, if you want to wear a skirt, you know, that's not pants. A dress,
but it's clothes
or a kilt.
Hey. Kilts get in for free.
I could back that.
I figured you would.
Waiver. Yeah, you're coming in.
Again, message me on Facebook. Oh, and I should mention, I have a new MC now. The lovely Lauren Ansley, who is a comedian, a stand-up comedian in Charlotte.
Tall Laura?
Tall Lauren.
Yeah, Lauren.
You know her. Yes, she started Beerly Funny. So follow her on Facebook also and her page. And you'll see her December 6th at the next Queen City Cinephiles as my MC. Yeah.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
You know Tall Lauren?
Just from
Abby Jelly.
Just from the socials. I don't know her.
You don't know her.
Nope.
She's amazing.
She was at a Robot Johnson show one time too, like sitting with you up front. So
Well, there you go.
You have a good memory.
And Robot Johnson has a show coming up too. So
Yes, the day after.
You can make a weekend of it.
Yeah, QCC is Friday, and there's a Saturday.
This is like an unofficial con.
And there's just like a, it's a birthday.
It's their best of year.
Okay.
Their best of show. So if you've ever been to Robot Johnson, when you go, they hand you a little program with a list of the skits that are being done, the sketches, and a crayon, because we're high tech. And then you circle the ones that you liked, and then the end of year, the ones that get the most votes get redone into one big, huge masterclass of sketch. So,
Robot Johnson is awesome. If you have not been to a Robot Johnson show,
go.
You have to.
Yes.
You don't have a choice.
You have to.
Well,
you don't even have to wear pants, okay?
Just tell Candace we said it was fine. Please don't. They'll kick us out.
Pants were optional.
Everybody's wearing kilts and dresses. This is so strange.
Oh, man. I gotta make this happen.
We bought our tickets. Did you buy your tickets? Because they will sell out.
Yes, I did.
Yes.
Did
you get your ticket? Definitely will sell out, yeah. They're going to the Evening Muse for that one, I think, which is really cool. Yeah.
But seating's limited, so get there early. Yeah. Otherwise, you stand in the back. Indeed. Unless you have an inside track like me with my handicap sticker. So like,
I'll just be in the corner facing the wall.
like last time.
Exactly.
So as a film junkie, what films are you looking forward to in the next few months?
Jojo's Rabbit. Oh, we mentioned Taika Waititi, but Jojo's Rabbit
her future lover.
Concubine, yes.
It's true.
She's grinning like, whatever happens, fine. I'm fine with it. Yeah.
I've checked out now.
Jojo's Rabbit was released in major cities last weekend, and it's...
So we're not a major city right now.
Okay. I can't understand that.
We're so close.
So close.
I'm looking forward to Dr. Sleep. Are you?
Yes, I am looking forward to Dr. Sleep. The Shining is top five favorite movies.
Too scary.
And I read the book, Dr. Sleep, so I'm really looking forward to it coming out. I'm a fan of Ewan McGregor's. So he's gonna
wear a kilt.
He can wear a kilt.
Or a Jedi robe.
Or no pants.
Yeah.
We'll accept him with no pants.
Underneath the Jedi robe, you never know. Yeah. Oh, Lord.
Well, and those robes are voluminous, so you could just have a party in there and no one would know.
I'm going to listen to this episode and go, geez, Mia, you sound so lustful.
What would you do if your two celebrity crushes showed up at the same event?
Oh, so Henry Rollins and Taika Waititi. Wow.
And Ewan McGregor. What if all three of them were there?
Uh-oh.
And they were all coming for
you. Oh, you know, Ewan McGregor, he's a nice guy, but I'll let Carol the Cat have that one.
Thank you.
Sloppy seconds for... Oh,
my God. I'll take Henry Rollins, too.
No.
Yeah, I know.
She's not giving that one up. No.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what would happen with those two, but
you would faint. We'd have to revive you.
I don't think I would be fainting. No.
Uh-oh. We would have to release the celebrity, please. Pry her fingers.
People need to hear the spoken word poetry of
I have met, I think, every cast member of What We Do in the Shadows. No, that's not true. I haven't met Corey.
Haven't Jermaine.
Huh?
Jermaine.
Oh, I haven't met Jermaine. Okay, so who have I met? I've met Johnny Bruh.
Mm-hmm. Deacon.
Right.
Ben Frasham.
Ben Frasham.
Peter.
And, we saw Reese Darby recently. Yeah. So.
The Swear Wolf.
I've met half the staff.
Yeah.
Come on, Taika Waititi. Just
come to Charlotte.
Just round out that number for me.
Fred and Wilma. Shaggy, of course. Scrappy. It doesn't really count, but still.
Is
that the same show? Mike and Dean?
Different group of crazy kids.
Where can we find Queen City Cinephiles on the internet?
My Instagram page, QC Cinephiles. and Facebook and Meetup. QC Cinema House. Yeah, Meetup is really the awesome bomb, right? Now. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
I thought Meetup was like slowly dwindling away. Is it still?
No.
I need to get back into the Meetup then, because right now I'm relying on Facebook for all my events. And
no, I think Meetup is a much better way to find out about stuff, quite frankly, because Facebook's algorithms drive me insane.
Yeah.
And I find out about things I would have gone to like 2 weeks after the fact.
Well, I mean, we said that we went to Rhys Darby. We heard about Rhys Darby coming to Charlotte like 2 days before he arrived in Charlotte.
Yeah. Oh.
So it was, because
I mean, the hardest thing about having like everything go to the digital is that there's no one consistent source, it seems like.
Yeah,
but Eventbrite, or I'm sorry, Meetup is owned by WeWorks now. Right. So
they just merged it last year, I think.
Right, so if you are a group organizer, they run specials, like host an event at a WeWorks co-working space.
Yeah.
For free, you just, have to pay catering or have to pay
whatever.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. And that's a huge deal because those spaces are clean and they've got a modern design and they're fully furnished. It's a great opportunity. Plus, if you are hosting your Meetup event, your RSVPs are much more reliable headcount of how many people to expect than Facebook.
Yeah.
There's a Meetup math for sure that's more accurate.
Yeah, but it's much more accurate. Facebook, where it's like
interested.
Yeah.
Which used to be maybe, but people were so turned off by maybe they changed it to interested. So it's like.
Well, so we try to explain for like the Muggles Market and stuff like that. Because right now, if you look at it, it's like 4,000 people have said interested. And then you have like, several hundred that have said they're going. But for every one of those people that's going, that's a mom, that's like eight people.
Yeah.
Because it's like kids. The mom, the four kids, and like all
you
that
can't
kind
bring
of
your one kid. You got to bring your one kid and her friend.
And the neighborhood.
Yeah,
and So it's like, I always have, people are always like, well, how many people are, as a vendor, how many people?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, look at Facebook, assume 2,000 to 3,000. And I can't tell you beyond that. If it rains, I just can't.
Oh, it's
as
true.
An event planner and somebody that gets OCD about how many bodies are going to be in the room, it's a nightmare.
Yeah. Meetup has become so popular that last year you were invited. I went tag along with you. It was a meetup for meetup organizers. And then somebody from New York?
Yeah.
New York, like Meetup headquarters came to that first meeting.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And it was like, it was really cool because it was like a guy that ran the drones, one of the drones.
It was a great way to meet other group organizers and kind of work together.
Talk about all the problems and great benefits too. Yeah.
Yeah. And they care about how to make Meetup better.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's really great. We haven't been able to go because, of course, a lot of their meetups are on Wednesday nights and I've already told them because they wanted me to, because we would be considered a success on Meetup Charlotte Geeks, and they wanted to talk about how we did it. And I was like, well, first of all, stop holding them on Wednesday nights because I can't come and tell you about anything. But secondly, it's also 11 years later. So, there was a lot of stuff we did at the beginning that you wouldn't do now. Like, I actively went on Craigslist and I would post in Creative Loafing. And
boy.
You wouldn't do that now.
No.
Because it's different now. but 10 years ago.
Yeah, you could do
that. You could do that. People actually went there to look for events that weren't like events. So,
So when did I join the Charlotte Geeks? It was
2009. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I started in 2008. Well, you came 2008. Well, the first gala was 2009. So.
Yeah. That's when I went in 2009 and I found you on Meetup.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I think that's where I saw it too.
Hmm.
You didn't know Joey before that?
No.
Not really?
No, we really didn't. No, we really didn't get to know each other.
Until you photographed my car.
Until I photographed your car.
Which was after?
Which was after.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was after you had actually attempted and then did not you attempted to be part of the CONCOM of Con Carolinas, and that didn't work out.
Yeah, I was there for a year.
Yeah.
And then
that's where we kind of knew each other. And then...
But we'd never hung out.
No.
Like, the closest we came to hanging out was back at... in Pineville when we had that geek swap meet.
Yes.
By the
bakery.
The bakery.
Nova's Bakery. Was it Nova's? I can't remember. It was a bakery.
Break bread kind of. There was some spiritual thing.
Because I remember I traded my Twilight books for a Flash Gordon DVD.
Yeah.
So, good trade.
It was a good trade. It was a damn good trade.
Yeah. Because you had bins and I was going to say Matt, but I wasn't dating Matt at the time.
No.
I think I tried to get Robert to help you take them, and that didn't happen. Okay. So.
But then you took a picture of my car in the parking lot.
Well, because I remembered your car from that event. Yeah. And then when I saw you in the parking lot of my work, I was like, somebody I know works here. But I couldn't remember whose car that was because I didn't put it together until... And then, you know.
But see, I remember that post because I was Facebook friends with both of you.
Yeah.
By then. I thought that you had been good friends long before that.
No, we knew each other, but we hadn't hung out because, like, any CONCOM stuff, you hadn't been at the ones I was at. I wasn't at the ones you were at. We had talked on the boards together.
Yeah.
But it probably wasn't until we found out we worked together that we really hung out.
Yeah. Then it became let's go do sushi.
That's
so often that they had my drinks waiting for me.
I know. We would walk in and they would just bring us our drinks. We didn't even have to order them.
I think that is a level of royalty right there.
And then you worked in our building and we got to hang out with you some of the time. Mm-hmm. And then Chrissy worked down the street, and so there was like a little four of us that would hang out every once in a while. It was fun.
But now look at us, we're podcasting,
we all work in,
and there's no sushi here. Come on, guys.
I know.
The thought of sushi right now, because I'm not feeling very well, is not a good idea.
Pass on the sushi today.
But when I could taste things again, I would love to do sushi.
Maybe I'll bring sushi next time I'm on.
Yeah, that would be cool. Well, lots of wasabi,
so she really tastes it.
I like wasabi.
I know.
I like it. I want to do a sushi party where like you roll your own rolls.
Mm-hmm. It's fun.
Yeah. I took a class and then like was so determined I was going to do that. And then I broke up with the guy I was dating. So.
Well, it's fun, but it's so time consuming.
It is.
And there's so many, if you're going to do that, you have to have a lot of ingredients.
And equipment. The bamboo, you don't think the little bamboo mat is important.
It's until very you important.
Try and roll important. That damn thing.
Yeah. It's,
so yeah.
It's a critical
But I element. See, I need like a Crystal Davidson of sushi. Because Crystal Davidson of Casual Confection, she'll do those cookie making parties where she will bring all the ingredients and then she will, you'll all work together to make the sugar cookies. And then while you and your guests are sitting decorating them, she's cleaning up your kitchen. That's what I need.
We'll need to work on that. So somebody start a business, sushi parties.
Yeah. Yeah. Just talk to Crystal. She'll get you with her mentor. And then we will have you on the podcast if you'll let us be the first party.
That would be totally cool because instead of getting... you know, one fish fillet of, you know, three or four different kind of fish. If it's just prepackaged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It pre-portioned at least.
Yeah.
Then you're not overspending.
Yeah. I mean,
you make it attainable.
Yeah.
That would be really cool.
And that's
Somebody
what's
get
cool
that.
About her parties. Cause that's, you know, that's what she does. She like brings what you need and then goes.
I got to meet this Crystal Davidson person.
Oh, she's going to be at the Muggles Market. She's making butterbeer fudge. And she's selling some of her classes and stuff like that. So
sweet.
Come check it out. She's good. Her husband, Douglas Davidson, does Elements of Madness film reviews. You've probably seen those.
He does a podcast with Daryl.
As well.
Cinnamon.
Cinnamon. Is that okay. They pronounce it? Yeah, Cinnamon. Cinnamon. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've listened to that.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Mm-hmm. Is not Charlotte like the smallest big town you've ever been in? Like, everybody knows everybody.
It's so small geographically. It's just so small when you think about what all there is to do here.
Yeah.
Any given weekend, you have to choose what to do because
if anybody
you have a plethora of options, of all good options.
And it used to not be that way at all. Like, big bands really wouldn't come in here too often, but it's.
But if somebody tells me they don't like Charlotte, I'm like, you haven't tried. You haven't even begun to try.
There's so much to do.
If you cannot find something that's your thing in Charlotte, you haven't tried.
Right, because there's movies here, there's music here, there's podcasts.
There's theater.
There's theater. Art, there's sports.
Avant-garde. I mean, like, everything is...
Yeah, there's...
There's Burly. There's, there's like, a new burlesque group around.
Mm-hmm.
Sushi parties.
So, yes, I went to the Flamingo Review this past weekend.
Yeah,
Lord of the Rings themed. That
and awesome. That's why we do support local. That's why we do what we do.
I support local myself.
And Mia, you filled a gap. Queen City Cinephiles. And because of that, we found out about all sorts of cool filmmakers in town. I mean, there was already some like festivals and stuff, but you bring it year-round here. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah, every other month. So
yeah, check it out.
It's in circulation.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. Check thank out you. Queen City Cinephiles online. Go to all the places, meet up on Facebook, Insta.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
You've been listening to Guardians of the Geekery. Find us on the web at guardiansofthegeekery.com and everywhere fine podcasts are found. Support the Charlotte Geeks at patreon.com/charlottegeeks. Tune in next time for another exciting adventure on Guardians of the Geekery.